Hello, this is Miss Dell reading the Decatur Herald and Review. Today's date is December 29th, 2025. We will start beginning with today's reading on the front page. The headline reads, Grants Drive Local Food Hubs. State program backs small farmers, food sharing networks. Agriculture, Illinois, Urbana. It's a cold and overcast day in November, but Sola Gratia Farm in Urbana is teeming with life. The last leafy greens of the season are lined up in the field while delicate herbs and flowers have been moved inside plastic walled high tunnels to weather the cold winter months. To arrive on Thanksgiving dinner plates and in food pantry fridges, the produce from the 29-acre farm must be loaded into a refrigerated delivery van and spirited off to distribution sites. That delivery vehicle was purchased using funds Sola Gratia, which means by grace alone, received under Illinois Local Food Infrastructure Grant, or LFIG program. The grant also allowed the farm to produce much of the equipment used to clean and package produce prior to sale or donation. Tracy Barkley, the farm's director, told Capital News Illinois that infrastructure like this is important for farms to grow, but can be difficult to fund independently. So the grant, all of a sudden, allows dreams to come true, Barkley said, smiling. Sola Gratia is one of 19 LFIG recipients that received a collective $1.8 million in funding awarded in 2024 after passage of the Local Food Infrastructure Grant Act. The law created funding to support small farmers and food distributors, those with fewer than 50 employees, in producing locally grown food for Illinois communities. The General Assembly found that 95% of the food consumed in Illinois is imported from outside the state. Shifting to just 10% of that purchasing to local farms could generate billions of dollars in economic growth for Illinois, according to the law. But for Illinois to move forward purchasing more local food, farmers and food processors need adequate infrastructure to ensure the food reaches consumers predictably. That means refrigerators and freezers to keep fresh produce and meat at peak quality. Facilities where fruits and vegetables can be uniformly cleaned, sliced, and processed into products like jams and jellies, equipment to package goods for sale, and vehicles to transport them. It makes an enormous difference. The Illinois Stewardship Alliance, a food and farm advocacy group based in Springfield, administered the program in its first year, 2024. The next year, the state appropriated $2 million in fiscal year 2025 to the Department of Agriculture to administer the grants through the program, though the program faced implementation delays. Between the unspent funds and an additional $2 million allocated to the program in the fiscal year 2026 budget, there will be a $4 million available for upcoming cycle. While small relative to the $55.1 billion in spending measures in Illinois, fiscal 2026 budget, farmers said the grants of up to $75,000 for an individual project and up to $250,000 for a collaborative project have a significant impact on the recipients. The Department of Agriculture will continue to administer the LFIG grant cycle in 2026 and expects the application process to open in early January. Jeff Hake is a partner at Funk's Grove Heritage Fruits and Grains in McLean County, a small family operation growing wheat, corn, and fruits. The farm received an LFIG grant to help dry clean and store grains it processes into flour, cornmeal, pancake mixes, popcorn, and more. Hake summarized the impact of the grant on an overcast winter morning at the farm, where trains frequently pass on the nearby track running along old Route 66. It makes an enormous difference, he told reporters, and the impact expands dramatically with these small, thoughtful investments. Among the purchases Funk's Grove made with the support of the grant were a gravity table and a seed cleaner or eliminator, affectionately called Ellie. Hake said the first wheat crop to run through both machines was the cleanest the farm had ever produced. Filtering on density and size, the two machines strain out debris, leaves, and dirt. The gravity table even allows farmers to filter out infected grain, which becomes lighter when consumed by disease. Hake said the family identified a need for the gravity table after they almost lost a crop of corn to a grain-borne toxin. The corn tested above the safe threshold for consumption, meaning the entire batch would have been wasted and revenues lost. Luckily for the farm, another grain farmer 2 hours north of Rockford had a gravity table. She ran the Funk's Grove corn through, removing enough of the infected crop to effectively save the harvest. Hake and other LFIG recipients say the grants have had a ripple effect. For example, a flower farmer near Lexington to the north cleans her harvested popcorn using the machines at Funk's Grove, while a farmer-based distillery in Paxton to the west is exploring doing the same for this year's corn crop. Neither has the infrastructure to clean grain at that level, so collaborating with Funk's Grove improves efficiency. We've learned so much and we've acquired all of these things, and I very much don't want to be gatekeeping, Hake said. I don't want anyone else to have to go through this if we have it in within an hour of where they're farming. That same collaboration is core to the missions of the LEAF Food Hub in Carbondale and the Farm FED Cooperative in Mount Pulaski, also former LFIG recipients. While they differ in structure, both provide small farmers with post-harvest infrastructure to assist with distribution. Farm FED provides produce to local food banks and opens its kitchen to a nearby bakery. Tom Martin is in the cooperative's board president and a grain farmer whose family has lived in the area for over 200 years. Martin outlined the impact of support from LFIG on a rainy afternoon at Farm FED's site on the main square in Mount Pulaski. The grant allowed Farm FED to purchase a building and food processing equipment for local farmers. We're not trying to become a great big co-op, he said. We're trying to provide healthy food, support farmers, and support our communities. Similarly, Solagradia reported that several other farms and organizations benefited from being able to transport produce in the van they purchased with the LFIG support. The state invested in us, and it's shared with others, Barkley said at Solagradia. There's a huge camaraderie and we try to contribute to. Solagradia also regularly hosts gardening workshops, farm yoga sessions, and educational events with local schools and community groups. Global networks. Part of the challenge of increasing Illinois' share of locally produced food, regional farmers say, is the barriers to competing with larger businesses that sell food cheaply and in large quantities. Blaine Harris is the operations manager of an owner of the Carbondale-based LEAF Food Hub, also known as the Little Egypt Alliance of Farmers. LEAF received an LIFG grant to help reduce waste for their network of farmers and food processors who distribute food through an online marketplace to a dozen local sites. Working together allows LEAF farmers to focus less on making money and more on farming, according to Harris. The core issue to all of this is just like the economy of scale, and it's really difficult to compete with the global economy at a regional food level, Harris said. The hope behind this is that if we have collective marketing, aggregation, processing, and distribution, then farmers can farm. However, Harris said, collective distribution models face limitations when there's no avenue for selling food to larger institutions such as schools, hospitals, and correctional facilities, which serve hundreds of thousands of meals daily. Something that I would have as an input towards future infrastructure grants is that they should be paired with some sort of grant that enables purchasing, Harris said. Illinois law mandates that state public institutions must purchase food from the lowest bidder, often larger companies from out of state. The Department of Corrections is the state's largest purchaser of food, awards nearly 70% of its contracts to just two distributors, according to Investigate Midwest. A bill proposed in the General Assembly's spring session would have changed that, allowing public universities to award contracts to local farmers using criteria for sustainability and ethical growing practices. It stalled in committee. Farmers also face barriers getting local food to underserved communities. According to a 2024 report on food access commissioned by the Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity, larger corporations are not incentivized to open chain grocery stores in low-income or rural areas where profit potentials are low, and small independent grocery stores that fill the gap struggle to meet the low price expectations set by the large competitors. When grocery stores close, people lose access to healthy foods, creating food insecurity. The Illinois Department of Public Health reported in 2021 that nearly 3.3 million Illinoisans, about one in four, lived in communities that lacked access to fresh, nutritious food. Upcoming grant cycle. Before applying for a 2026 LFIG grant, applicants will need to complete three pre-registration steps, standard for all grants administered under the Ag Department. The department also recommends preparing documents, including payroll logs and tax forms, to show proof of eligibility. A full checklist of the necessary forms can be found on the LFIG website. We don't want anybody to get held up this time of year trying to get paperwork from their bank or from their payroll departments or anything like that, Grant Administrator Heather Wilkins said. So always continue to look at the Department of Ag's website for those updates as we begin to launch this program. Recipients will be expected to match 25% of their award with a comparable investment unless the project is classified as high need, meaning that it fills a critical infrastructure gap or serves underserved farmers and communities. Points will be awarded to proposals that have community support, are led by historically underserved farmers and owners, increase affordability in underserved communities, and more. A list of allowable expenses and other information about the application are detailed in the LFIG administrative rules. The farms and food processors who were awarded LFIG funding when it was administered under the Illinois Stewardship Alliance will be eligible to reapply this year, but future projects under the Department of Agriculture will be ineligible for the grant in the subsequent funding cycle. In the first year of the program, 247 project proposals were submitted, from which 19 were selected. The applicants collectively requested over $23 million in funding. The Stewardship Alliance, and this indicates that LFIG fills a major gap. There is still a very high need for local food infrastructure in Illinois. Alliance Policy Director Molly Pickering said. We're still trying to move the needle on Illinois farmers being able to feed Illinois, and that is only possible when they have access to infrastructure. Tom O'Connor is a freelance multimedia journalist. He is a graduate of the Medill School of Journalism. Capital News Illinois is a nonprofit, nonpartisan news service that distributes state government coverage to hundreds of news outlets statewide. It is funded primarily by the Illinois Press Foundation and the Robert R. McCormick Foundation. Our next article, under Public Health, Epidemic of Loneliness. As polls show isolation growing, initiatives aim to build up community. Peter Smith, Associated Press. Americans are less likely to join civic groups, unions, and churches than in recent generations. They have fewer friends, are less trusting of one another, and less likely to hang out in a bar or coffee shop. Recent polling indicates, so it's not surprising many feel lonely or isolated. Health risks. In 2023, then Surgeon General Vivek Murthy reported on an epidemic of loneliness and isolation similar to his predecessor's advisories on smoking and obesity. Isolation is being socially disconnected, while loneliness is the distress of lacking human connection. One can be alone, but not lonely, or lonely in a crowd. Overall, isolation and loneliness are risk factors for several major health conditions, including cardiovascular disease, dementia, depression, and premature mortality, the report said. The COVID-19 pandemic exacerbated social isolation. There was some rebound, but not back to where it was before. Scholars and activists cited various potential causes and effects of disconnection. They range from worsening political polarization to destructive economic forces and rat race schedules to pervasive social media. Murthy said for many users, social media became an endless scroll of performance, provocation, and unattainably perfect bodies. What began perhaps as an effort to build community has rapidly transformed into something that I worry is actually now actively contributing to loneliness, he said. Going solo. Harvard's Robert Putnam described the decline in civic engagement in a widely cited 2000 book, Bowling Alone. Its name referred to the way the decline affected bowling leagues where people used to spend time together, making friends, finding romantic partners, and helping one another in times of need. Memberships in many organizations, including service veterans, scouting, fraternal, religious, parental, and civic, continued their long decline into the 21st century, according to a follow-up analysis in The Upswing, a 2020 book by Putnam and Shailen Romney Garrett. While some organizations grew in recent years, the authors argue that member participation often tends to be looser, making a contribution, getting a newsletter, than the more intensive groups of the part that had regular meetings and activities. Some forms of social bonds earn their mistrust. Organizations, family, and religious groups can be harsh on their dissenters. Yet disconnection has its own costs. There have been such a drive for personal autonomy, but I think we've moved so far past wanting not to have any limits on what we can do, what we can believe, and what we become allergic to, and what we've become allergic to institutions, said Daniel Cox, director of Survey Center on American Life, and a senior fellow in polling and public opinion at the American Enterprise Institute. I'm hoping we are beginning to recognize that unbounded personal autonomy does not make us happier and creates a wealth of social problems, said Cox, co-author of the 2024 report, Disconnected and Growing Class Divide in American Civic Life. Stark class divide. Some argue that Putnam and others use too limited a measurement, that people are finding new ways of connecting to replace the old ones, whether online or via other newer forms of networking. Still, many numbers depict an overall decline in connection. This hits hardest on those who could most use a friend, a job referral, or a casserole at the door in hard times. Those with lower educations, which generally translates to lower incomes, tend to report on having fewer close friends, fewer civic gathering places in their communities, and fewer people who could help in a pinch, according to Disconnected. Responses to crisis. Across the U.S., small organizations and informal groups work to build community through formal programs or less structured social events. They include a ministry pursuing trauma-informed community development in Pittsburgh, a cooperative helping small farmers and their communities in Kentucky, an intentional community of Baltimore neighbors and organizations seeking to restore neighborhoods and neighborliness in Akron, Ohio. Murthy says he's encouraged by the initiatives, which range from potluck dinners to service projects. His new Together project, supported by the Knight Foundation, aims to support such efforts. Weave, the social fabric project at the Aspen Institute, has a searchable database of volunteer opportunities and an online forum to connect, support, and train community builders. Where people are trusting less, where people are getting to know each other less, where people are joining groups less, Weave Executive Director Frederick J. Riley said, there are people still in every community who have decided that it's up to them to bring people together. By the numbers, about 16% of adults, including about one quarter of those under 30, report feeling lonely or isolated all or most of the time, according to a 2024 survey by the Pew Research Center. Just under half of Americans belonged to a religious congregation in 2023, a low point for Gallup, which has tracked this trend since 1937. Only about 10% of workers are in a union, down from 20% 4 decades ago, the Bureau of Labor Statistics reports. About half of Americans regularly spend time in a public space in their community in 2025, down from about two-thirds in 2019, according to America's Cultural Crossroads, a study by the Survey Center on American Life. About 2 in 10 U.S. adults have no close friends outside of family, according to the Disconnected report. In 1990, only 3% said that, according to Gallup. About one quarter of adults have at least 6 close friends, down from nearly half in 1990. About 4 in 10 Americans have at most one person they could depend on to lend them $200, offer a place to stay, or help find a job, according to Disconnected. About one quarter of Americans say most people can be trusted, down from about half in 1972, according to the General Social Survey. And now, advice. Asking Eric. Dear Eric, I love to send holiday cards. On my list, so many brides have opted to not take their husband's last name. It was no problem to address Mr. John Smith and Miss Jane Doe. Now kids have come along. Am I able to use Smith family even if the wife slash mom does not use that surname? Dear card, how about Mr. John Smith and Miss Jane Doe and family? While some recipients might not mind being lumped together under one name, if you don't mind using the ink, it may be better to err on the side of caution. Another option, if the kids have hyphenated last names, you can always address the cards to the Smith Doe family. Lastly, the possibility, most simply, try the Smith and Doe family. All covers all your bases. Dear Eric, when I saw the summary from the letter writer whose wife spends all her time online instead of helping with all their yard work and housework, doing it all myself, I was afraid my husband had written it. I don't spend all of my time online, but a stressful job and bouts of anxiety and depression often lead me to weekends buried in books, TV, and puzzle games on my devices. I saw part of myself in his wife, the part that wants to do the yard work and keep the house nice, but is overwhelmed by it. I can spend an hour organizing a cabinet or closet only to find that other members of the household just mess it up. She may be suffering from depression. If he can suggest that she talk to her doctor, it may be helpful. Been there, done that. Dear Been There, this is a very helpful follow-up. The husband would be wise to talk to his wife about what else is going on. While an unequal division of labor can put a strain on a marriage, the problem may need a more comprehensive solution than a chore chart. Today in history, on this date in 1170, Thomas Becket, the Archbishop of Canterbury, was killed in Canterbury Cathedral by knights loyal to King Henry II. In 1890, the Wounded Knee Massacre took place in South Dakota, as more than 250 Lakota people were killed by U.S. troops sent to disarm them. In 1940, during World War II, the German Luftwaffe dropped bombs on London, setting off what came to be known as the Second Great Fire of London. In 1978, during the Gator Bowl, Ohio State football coach Woody Hayes punched Clemson player Charlie Bowman. In 1989, dissident and playwright Vaclav Havel assumed the presidency in Czechoslovakia. In 1993, he would become the first president of the newly independent Czech Republic. In 2021, British socialite Ghislaine Maxwell was convicted in New York of helping lure teenage girls to be sexually abused by the late Jeffrey Epstein. The verdict capped a month-long trial featuring accounts of the sexual exploitations of girls as young as 14. Maxwell would be sentenced to 20 years in prison. In 2024, Jimmy Carter, a peanut farmer who became governor of Georgia and was elected president in the years after the Watergate scandal, serving one tumultuous term starting in 1977, died at age 100. Next, we move on to Hints from Heloise. Carton date. Dear Heloise, Mary in Minnesota says she always writes the date on the end of the egg carton before it goes into the refrigerator. There is already a date on the end of the egg carton. The three-digit number between 000 and 365 is the number of days in the year. For instance, 032 is February 1st. New Year's Eve is 365 or 366 in a leap year. PVC pipes. Dear Heloise, I just read about the damage that hot water can do to PVC pipes. I put a few ice cubes in the sink before pouring hot water down the drain. I think that's more effective than using cold water. Here in Arizona, during the summer, cold water needs to be run for quite a while before actually getting cold. Water wasting. Dear Heloise, I want to respond to Charlie M. regarding water gobbling golf courses in California. We are aware of the importance of not wasting water. However, golf courses provide beautiful habitats for animals, recreation for people of all ages, and jobs for golf pros, managers, groundkeepers, food service workers, cleaners, and many other staff. Even if you don't play golf, you can appreciate the green park light settings they encompass. I would much prefer a golf course to a parking lot or a high-rise building. We will now take a break. This was the reading of the Decatur Herald and Review for December 29th, 2025.